chapter 1, texts 23 and 24. 24 is on the board. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tasya Vavayasaha Putra Dasa Esam Tu Yo Abama Alo Narayano Namana Pitros Cha Deito Brisham Tasha Pravasata Putra Dasate Sam Tuyo Amana Alo Narayano Namana Pitrosya Daito Prisham Dasya Pravayasa Putra Dasya Te Sham Tuyo Vama Alo Narayana Namna Pitrosya Daito Prisham Dasya Pravayasa Putra Dasate Sham Tu Yoga Maha Alo Narayano Namna Vityoscha Deito Brisham Asha Prabhupada Putra Asate Sham Tu Yoga Maha Balo Narayanam Namna Vitrasya Daito Kisham Asya Prabhaya Saputra Asate Sham Yudho Mama Alo Narayano Namna Vitrasya Daito Kisham Asya Prabhaya Saputra Dasate Sham Tu Yoga Tasha Ophim Ajamila Rabayasha, who was very old, Putra, sons, Dasa, ten, Tesham, all of them, two, but Ya, the one who. Abamaha, the youngest, Balaha, child, Narayana, Narayan, Namana, by name, Pitro, of the father and mother, Cha, and Deita, dear, Brisham, very. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, the Bhai Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yeah. I read 23 first. There's no purple. Ivam nivasathas tasha lalayanasya tatshutam kalo utyagan mahanrajan ashti dayusha shamaha. My dear King, while he thus spent his time in abominable sinful activities to maintain his family and many, many sons, 88 years of his life passed by. Text 24. That old man Ajamila had 10 sons, of whom the youngest was a baby named Narayana. Since Narayana was the youngest of all the sons, he was naturally very dear to both his father and his mother. Please repeat. That old man, Ajamila, had 10 sons, of whom the youngest was a baby named Narayana. Since Narayana was the youngest of all the sons, he was naturally very dear to both his father and his mother. The word Prabhayasya indicates Ajamil's sinfulness, because though he was 88 years old, he had a very young child. According to Vedic culture, one should leave home as soon as he has reached 50 years of age. One should not live at home and go on producing children. Sex life is allowed for 25 years, between the ages of 25 and 45, or at the most, 50. After that, one should give up the habit of sex life and leave home as a vanaprastha, and then properly take sannyas. Ajamila, however, because of his association with a prostitute, lost all of his Brahminical culture and became most sinful, even in his so-called household life. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Chananjanan Shalakaya Chakshura Miritanjina Tashmaya Shri Gribi Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garata Shiva Shari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yeah, so continuing this story of Ajamil, very instructive story of Ajamila, because we see practically this is the situation today, who is actually leaving home at 50 years old and taking to Vanaprastha. But according to the Vedic culture, this is the situation. You have to do something. You've got a material body, but you're not the material body. And we are the dictators of the body, how it can move around. So we have to, either one way or another. So here, the Vedic culture is a perfect system that you can use in an unattached way and go back home, back to Godhead, become free from taken another body again, because the body is the source of problem. Attachment of Ajamil is due to his body. So if the Vedic culture is taught nicely and its maintained by the government, by the kings, by the administrators, if they see everything is going nicely, then there's no problem. Things become very natural for it. Even in Kali Yuga, so many sinful activities, so many simple things we take as normal nowadays. It's just a way of life. So it's only due to the conditioning. If you have a good government, you say, no, this is how you should act, then it will just become quite a natural way of life, like you see in many places in India, where they're not so caught up with the Kali Yuga influence. But they're prepared to go through these stages. They know what life is all about. They know the stages you have to go through, and they know what to finally to accept. And you're going to end up on the funeral pyre, and you're going to go back to Godhead because you've been trained in that way. So it's not a big thing. Everybody knows what they got to do. So here we see in Vedic culture, it's nice. Everything is there. The instructions of what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. Live and let live. You see that a lot in India. So that's there for us. When the universe is created for the conditioned souls to exhibit their tendency to want to be the controllers and enjoyers of the material world, then along with the creation comes the Vedas. The Lord speaks to Vedas. This is like a manual. You buy any kind of machine, you'll get a user's manual. So the Vedas are considered like a user's manual. How to use this material world, how to live in this material world, how to act in this material world, how to get out of the material world. Or if you want, which most people do, how to stay in the material world, but at least stay in the material world according to these injunctions. You want enjoyment, that's why you're here. Okay, here it is. Become a karma yogi, elevate yourself to the heavenly planets. After all, that's what you want. So the Vedas gives you indication and direction. Best happiness is material, but you won't get a better happiness than what Veda is presenting by following all the rules and regulations, because the whole system is it's a progression of purification from Shudra to Vaishya to Kshatriya to Brahmana, from Brahmachari to Grihastha Vanaprastha. So it's a built-in sense gratification system. It's a system of living, but it's built-in sense control system. So it's simply by following this, because of the peer pressure, then people are obliged to follow the rules and regulations. But by following everything nicely, then you get elevated slowly to a higher position of life. And you can go to Devaloka also. Happiness, goodness, mode of goodness means happiness. So this is what the Veda is doing, it's elevating one to goodness. Because you want happiness, that's the best happiness. That's your city, your material city. Happiness in material life, mode of goodness. Krishna is thinking of the living entities and how to rectify their consciousness. So here, so many systems are being given to rectify the consciousness. Why so many systems are here? The Krishna himself is speaking so many systems. But ultimately he says, Sarvadhanam parityaja mamekamsa. You should surrender and give up all the other systems, Sarvadhanam. Although Krishna himself has spoken so many systems in Bhagavad Gita, he speaks Vanashram, he speaks Dhyana Yoga, Santa Yoga, Dharma Yoga, knowledge of religion, knowledge of renunciation, knowledge of Atma, Paramatma. So many paths Krishna's teaching. But finally he says you should give them all up and just surrender unto me. So why doesn't Krishna say that in the beginning? Why just surrender unto me? Why does he speak so many paths? Because there are so many types of mentalities. They're not all the same mentality. So some people are, they want to stay in the, enjoy in the material world, in the Grihastha ashram. So there's so many rules and regulations for the Grihastha ashram. And someone, he wants to get out of the conditional life of sense enjoyment. He realizes, he becomes wise. So then there's other paths. He doesn't follow the path of Vanashram anymore. Then he goes and follows the path of Gyan. Or he wants to become a yogi. But all of these paths, and at least they've taken to the path of renunciation. They're not trying to enjoy the material world anymore. But the intention is that I'll enjoy something else. Not the material world is frustrating. I tried the minis and I'm not really satisfied yet. So let me try for another spiritual happiness. So then the search goes on for using Gyan or yoga like that. But still the idea, even you take the spiritual life, still the idea, we carry this conception of controlling and enjoying with us. Just like the, especially the Ashtanga yoga systems, sitting posture, control the sitting posture, pranayama, control the breathing, control the airs in the body, control, with control the senses, withdraw the, it's all control for samadhi. Eight, it means enjoyment. So that's the ultimate purpose, to control, to reach samadhi, so you can enjoy spiritually, you can enjoy Brahman. So we're still carrying the same conception of being the controllers, even in spiritual life. So Krishna knows our mentalities very well. We have all different types of mentalities. So therefore Krishna's given you a process for each mentality, practically. So therefore Krishna's speaking all of these mentalities in the philosophies to cater for all the mentalities in Bhagavad Gita. But his advice is, you give them all up, all those other philosophies and processes I taught you, to surrender unto me. But as long as we haven't got that ability, our intelligence is still attached and addicted to enjoying either materially or spiritually, then we won't surrender to Krishna. But Krishna's saying it can be done in one time. So we hear properly from the authorized acharyas. Take the process, initiation, the bona fide sampradaya, chant the holy names, the yuga dharma. We follow the process, and by this way, the whole process speeds up, and we can actually make that choice of completely surrendering unto Krishna, which is what Krishna wants. So the Krishna has spoken the Vedas to cater for everyone, every type of mentality, or human, at least human mentality. It's a process to cater for it. And the purpose of it is, it's dovetailing that Purusha Bhava, I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer, which we've had since time immemorial, we've had since we came into this material universe. This is the cause of our being in the material world. This is the root of it. I am the controller and I'm the enjoyer. The Purusha Bhava. So when we understand through the grace of Krishna and his, the scripture and his devotees of, you know, what's actually taking place in the material world, as long as we're holding on to this controlling, enjoying aspect, we're going to remain practically bound up, or at least we'll get our liberation, which means stopping all activities, which is really not any real great happiness. Compared to materially, there's a lot of happiness. So, now we're going to speak about the glories of the holy name, how Ajamil chants the name of his son, Narayana. It's going to go on for many classes, so Up until now, it's been speaking mostly about the path of bhakti being far, far superior than all the other paths. Why? Because it said, when the whole world is dissolved, this is the dissolution of the material world, everything enters back into the Lord Narayana. It says there is no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars, there's no sky, there's nothing. Nothing is existing. There's no demigods, there's no humans. Nothing is existing. It's all gone back into its primordial state. And Karma Yoga doesn't exist, Jnana Yoga doesn't exist, Varnashram doesn't exist. All these forms that we are using, they don't exist anymore. But one thing is existing still. That's the spiritual world, because that doesn't get annihilated when all the material worlds unite. And what goes on in the spiritual world? Bhakti. So when all the other processes of religion and self-realization, they're all not existing, bhakti still remains existing. In the spiritual world, there is Krishna, there's the devotees, and the exchange of love. That is going on eternally in the spiritual world. So this is the supreme position of bhakti over all the other processes here. And Maharaj Parikshit is pointing this out, that it's simply atonement for prayaschitta. What is actually the use if people go on their own way anyway? But by the process of bhakti, then you can counteract all the different influences in this material world. Otherwise it's very, very difficult. Practically alone in this world, you can't do it. You can't go back to Godhead alone. Devi Yeshi Gunamai Mama Maya Durate. How you can cross over this energy, Krishna says. My energy. Who gives you the authority to cross over? The Jnanis, the Yogis, everyone wants to cross over the ocean of material existence into the spiritual realm. It's not their energy they're dealing with, it's Krishna's energy. They have to get permission from Krishna. But by themselves, they can't do it. But unfortunately, the Mayavada philosophy, there's no one to take shelter of. That's a big defect. They're all alone, the ice-cold gyan, the gyanis, they're all alone in this material world with their gyan. So it's all them, it's all their struggle, it's all... But you can't do it alone. No one can cross over this. It's Krishna says it's because it's my energy. It's difficult, you cannot step. If I don't want you to cross, you won't cross. Thus, if I want you to cross, you can cross easily. Those who have surrendered unto me, they can very easily cross over. Why? Because Krishna says he orders Maya Devi, the material energy. This is my devotee, he's coming back to me, leave him alone. Take your clutches off. So she takes her claws, Shaktigun, Rajagun, Tamagun. She withdraws under Krishna's order. So therefore we take help from some superior. Then it becomes much easier, but by ourselves alone it's not possible. It's too difficult. So here the processes of bhakti is recommended over all the other processes because we get help from above. Or as Burijan says, we get by with a little help from our friends. A Beatles song. From the Beatles. So we got friends in the spiritual world and we're connected to them through the parampara. And they're only anxious to take us back. The Guru is only anxious to take us back. Krishna's only anxious to take it. Why he's come here and given us all this? So anxious to take. Why Guru is so much trouble they take? They're so anxious to take us back. They want us to go back. So we have so much help if we take shelter of the lotus feet. How can I reach? I can only take a few steps. But Krishna is Vamanadev, he takes two steps, what happens? He sticks his toe through the universe. So that's who we have on our side. That's our help for what is impossible for us. If our Lord can stick his toe as a dwarf, he can stick his toe through the universe. What cannot he do? So that's our help. That's who they have the ability to give you that power if you want to get out of the material universe. They'll give you can step over the universe. So this is Bhakti is the superior path. Here is a nice example given in the second canto. If I can remember where it was. Oh yeah, here it is. This is from the second canto, 8th chapter, text number 5. And here it's talking about the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, i.e. the Srimad Bhagavatam. It enters into the heart of the self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. It acts like the autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. The comparison to the autumnal rains that fall on muddy reservoirs of water is very appropriate. During the rainy season, all the waters of the rivers become muddy. But in the month of July and August, the autumn season, when there is a slight rainfall, the muddy waters of the river all over the world become at once clear. By addition of some chemicals, small reservoirs of water, like that of the Metropolitan Waterworks tank, can be cleared. But such a tiny effort is not possible. But by such a tiny effort, it's not possible to clear up the reservoirs of water like rivers. A powerful pure devotee of the Lord, however, can deliver not only his personal self, but also many others by his association. In other words, the cleansing of the polluted heart by other methods, like the culture of empiric knowledge or mystic gymnastics, can simply cleanse one's own heart. But devotional service to the Lord is so powerful, it can cleanse the hearts of all the people in general by the devotional service of the pure, empowered devotee. A true representative of the Lord, like Narad, Shukadev, Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya, and the six Goswamis, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc., can deliver all people of the world by their empowered devotional service. In Bhakti Kutir in Jagannath Puri, we just said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was living there, he said, by the power of my devotion, I will cause Bhakti Devi to go all over the world. They're not bragging. They can actually do that. By the power of my devotion, I'll cause Bhakti Devi to go all over the world. And he did. Right? He did. By sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, paternal affection, or conjugal love. And by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in transcendental loving service to the Lord. Not only were there great pure devotees like Narad, self-realized souls, but they were engaged in preaching work automatically by spiritual impetus, and thus they delivered many poor souls engaged in material modes. They became so powerful that they became so powerful because they sincerely followed the Bhagavatam principles. By regular hearing and chanting and worshipping, by such actions, the accumulated material lust, etc., become cleansed by the personal endeavor of the Lord within the heart. That's how the heart is becoming cleansed, by the personal endeavor of the Lord in the heart. He's so kind. We should also cleanse, not that we just sit back and let the Lord cleanse, but we also have to cleanse. Bhaktisiddhanta gives a nice example of cleansing the heart. Maybe it's from the Gundicha-Martinam story. Anyway. No. The cleansing the heart, sweeping out with the... At night time, you should beat your mind 100 times with shoes. And morning, you beat your mind 100 times with slippers. Broomstick. Beat your mind 100 times with a broomstick every morning. Pointed broomstick. This is the coconut. You know the coconut broom? You take the middle of the coconut leaf. Very hard. It's soft and fed. It's very, very hard. Very hard broom. And they tie it together. And you cleanse with that. It's a good cleansing. And if there's, moila, nugra, you know, things that are not going to sweep up, and they're stuck down, yucky, something yucky is there, difficult to move. Then you put the broom there and you put your foot on the broom and you push the broom hard and it gets rid of all that slimy stuff. And then you can cleanse up. It's good. And if you can't do that, then you hold the very end of where the little broom sits. You hold it tightly and you get down your hands and knees and you scrub and you scrub and you scrub. This is how we have to clean our heart to get it clean. If it doesn't come clean with those shoes, you get the... Be prepared to get down on your hands and knees and scrub with that end of the broomstick. Very effective. So, but Krishna's doing that. He's not even waiting for us. Or at least he's seeing we're taken to the devotional service, but Krishna's there doing the sweeping. We should not make Krishna a shudra, sweeper, in our heart. We should help and not bring anything back. Krishna's sweeping it out. He's sitting here. Here it says there's a sound vibration, specifically the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically also the holy name. The sound vibration sits in and he takes up that work of cleansing the heart. He's very so kind. But we shouldn't make him a sweeper in our heart by bringing everything back again, sweeping everything back after Krishna swept it away. So we want to serve Krishna, we don't want to make him our servant. So we help him sweep everything far away from the heart. Okay, so yeah, it says, by such actions, the accumulated material lust become cleansed by the personal endeavor of the Lord within the heart. So the sound vibration, the holy name, is by repeated hearing and chanting, that's cleansing the heart like anything. The Lord is always within the heart of the living entity, but it becomes manifested by one's devotional service. Not that we're trying to, in Krishna consciousness, not what we're trying to attain Krishna, attain God, because he's already there. What is to be attained? He's already in the heart, the living entity. So it's not we're trying to attain him. We're trying to give him a good place of reception. Which are we going to clean our heart so he stays? In puja, idam ashanam, swagatam. Receiving the Lord in the beginning, you make a nice sitting place, and then you invite the Lord. Idam ashanam, swagatam. You're welcome, the Lord. He has to have a nice reception. And then you can offer many other nice things, padyamashram, madhupakra, etc. So we've got to make a nice reception place for the Lord. It's the heart. So our business is to make sure the Lord is being received nicely and not sweeping dirt back in his face that he's already thrown away. So that's our business. He's already there in the heart and also in the holy name. So this is the actual process that we take to this process of Krishna consciousness, this authorized process, parampara, bona fide sampradaya, bona fide guru, bona fide mantra, yuga dharma. You get all these things, the guidance of the pure devotees, initiation, part of the process. You get the holy name of Krishna, and the holy name is Krishna. So actually you're being given Krishna as in the form of the sound vibration at the time of initiation. And but it's like in the seed form. Bhakti Lata Bridge means the whole process of bhakti, of which taking initiation and the receiving the holy name, and these are the most important points there. So you get Krishna, Guru gives you Krishna at that time, but he's in the seed form. But now you've got to cultivate, you've got to pour the water on, pick out the weeds when they come. This is, you're not going to sweep the dust back. Sweeping the dust back after Krishna swept it out means you're not picking up the weeds. You're not picking up the weeds that are growing and choking the devotion. But so it's the fact that Krishna is there. So it's not we're trying to attain it, it's already given, but we have to manifest him. What does he say? Prabhupada says, the Lord is always within the heart of living entity, but he becomes manifested by our devotional service. So Krishna is attracted by devotional service. We have to keep everything attractive. Our heart should be attracted to the Lord, so he'll stay there and manifest himself. The seed should fructify. So we have that duty of keeping everything swept nicely so that we can receive the Lord. And then when we receive the Lord, we have to keep him there. Means now he's there, there is someone we can take shelter of permanently. We have to take shelter of someone. The holy name, Krishna, Bhagavatam, Guru. We have to take shelter, otherwise we're all alone. So we have to take shelter. So that Lord we can establish in the heart. Then we can, if we receive nicely and he will stay there, then we can take shelter. Anytime a weed comes up, we go and take shelter of the Lord. Like this is the process. We have to have shelter in this material world. So we have to have shelter ultimately at Krishna's lotus feet. So we should want that. We should actually feel that shelter. Once you feel the Lord's shelter, then it becomes easy. And very rapidly, if the weeds are coming, we will throw them away. But it's important that we actually, well, we know factually everybody needs shelter. But we should seek that shelter, whoever is out. It's the deva, wherever we want to keep in our heart. Purification of the heart by culture of knowledge or mystic yoga may be right for the time being for an individual person, but like the cleansing of a small quantity of stagnant water by chemical processes, such clarification of water may stand for some time, being, and the sediments may settle down, but by a slight agitation, everything becomes muddy. The idea is that you put, what's it called, alum, Pisky in Bengal. You put some like salt, rock salt. You put it in the, when it floods here sometimes, Mayapur floods, everything is muddy. The water is muddy. Even if you turn on the tap, it becomes muddy because the water table is so high. So they get some pishka, alum. You put it in the tank and all the mud, it settles on the bottom. And then you got clean water. So that's like the yogic system. The mud settles. But as soon as there's a slight agitation, again all the mud comes. So this is a nice example being given here. The idea is that devotional service to the Lord is the only method of cleansing the heart for good, whereas the other methods may be superficially good for the time being, but there is a risk of becoming muddy again due to agitation of the mind. Devotional service to the Lord with specific attention for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always is the best recommended method for liberation from the clutches of illusion. Oh, so a nice example. The other processes of yoga, they are similar to putting this alum in the water. everything settles down, just like Manika, who was it, Vishwamitramuni. He had controlled it, all the sediments had settled down. He was having no agitation. Everything was settled. But when he heard Manika's foot bells, ding, 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 broke his meditation. Again, all the dust come up, all the sediments come up again. Oh, but Subhari Muni, so powerful. Meditate on the water. Sit on the water and meditate. Very, very controlled. All the sediments had. Then saw two fish, two lover fish, playing, and again all the dust, all the sediment came up, and he had to come up for a breath of fresh air. Otherwise, he was drowning in the. So anyway, that's the idea. So by the process of bhakti, it destroys all the sediments. They don't come up again. It destroys it for good. Whereas all the other processes, they don't get rid of that sediment. Sediment means I'm the controller and the enjoyer. But it doesn't get rid of that Purusha bhava. That's the sediment that comes up again. But by bhakti yoga and receiving the Lord in the heart, either it's as your deity or the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam or your preceptor. by this process, by having these in our heart, these personalities in our heart, then by their presence, actually, everything goes far away. They don't even have to sweep. They sweep anyway. Out of love, they sweep. But we shouldn't let the Lord sweep. This is the idea we should take to the process of bhakti. And always help shelter at any moment when these sediments appear to be rising, when there's some slight agitation due to the agitated mind. Another picture will come in front of you, as is happening at every second in this world. Maya is presenting a picture before you. I'll accept or reject it. So now we don't accept, we have a shelter. We're not going to enjoy that picture, we're not going to renounce the picture. We're going to call upon our shelter. Maya is coming. Just go and take shelter of our shelter. In this way we can stop for good. For good. We had one engineer here, what's his name? Rishi Babu, when we were building the Lotus building. Engineer and his assistant. Rishi Babu, young man, that little hut, they were living in the hut because there was no other business. And we used to talk to him, obviously, they were our engineers. And the young man said, actually, he said, I'm like you, I'm a brahmachari like you all here. He wasn't wearing saffron, but he said, I'm a brahmachari, so I have no attraction for sex life. But when Prabhupada came, they told me, Prabhupada, Rishi Babu, he's very advanced. He says he has no sex desire, he has no attraction. Prabhupada said, that is unnatural. So as long as in the material world, it's going to be natural. So instead of trying to enjoy it or trying to get rid of it, it comes, we'll take shelter of Krishna. He is our ultimate shelf. We don't deal with no punya, no pap, only Radha Krishna. No piety, no impiety. We only care for Radha Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Srila Prabhupada ki jay, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki. Nitai go premanandi. Thank you. Any comment, question?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, as you told that we do our devotional service, and gradually our heart is becoming clear and we feel progress. But my case, I feel that in contamination is increasing day by day more and more. Mm. I realizing that something is, but the devotional service is not working. So every day I feel that my heart is more contaminated. And I'm more degraded.
Yeah, no, the process is working, but you're not working. That's it. You're not working by following the process. Otherwise, why Lord Chaitanya will come and give this process? Why Rupa Goswami, eternal associates of the Lord, Rupa Manjari, closest system of rock. Why are they coming here and giving us a process that doesn't work? Though the process is perfect, it's just that if we don't follow, we should follow the process and depend on Krishna. It's also good to think that, it's not good to think the process is working, I feel great, I'm already self-realized, I'm a great devotee. That may not be so good. It's good also to think that the process is not working. I see it working on all the other devotees, but it's not working on me. Oh, they're so great. I wish I could be like the other devotees. Let me take the dust of their feet. Somehow or another, by their mercy, it will work on me. Yes.
We have
decision, choice. Yeah. Yeah. Bhagavad Gita is a book on destiny. Krishna says, if you do this, you get this. If you act in the mode of passion, you're going to get suffering as a result. You act in the mode of goodness, you get happiness. You act in the mode of ignorance, you get madness. You worship this demigod, you go to that planet. You worship the pictures, you go to Vishnu. Book of destiny. Whatever you want, Krishna's with you. So you choose. Krishna's given you so many choices. Krishna's given you. You just choose. Then you choose your own destiny. Krishna's giving you the choices. You choose one, he'll fulfill it. Yeah, that's okay.
Knowledge.
Yeah, yoga for purification, yoga for health. If it works, you use it. It's in Krishna's service. But it shouldn't be our goal to become yogis and get the benefits of the yogic system. That's not our goal. But if it helps, yes, you use it. If the medicine works, you take it. Allopathic, homeopathic. Vedic. If whatever works, you take that one. Now Krishna says, I know the future. They were talking about destiny. Krishna says, I know the future. I know the past also. I know the present. So where is the freedom? This is the next question. Where is our freedom if Krishna knows past, present, and future? It's all predestined. Then I can do anything I like. It doesn't really matter. But Krishna says, no, it's not predestined. But I'm telling you, if you act like this, I know what the result will be. Therefore, I know the future. If you act in the mode of goodness, I know the result. You're going to be happy. So I know the future. If you act in the mode of passion, you're going to become distressed. Therefore, Krishna knows the future. You act in the mode of ignorance, Krishna knows you're going to become mad, whatever it is, crazy. So therefore, Krishna knows the future, according to your activity now. So book on destiny. So take the highest destiny. Sattva dharam parityajam amikam.
I have a practical question. So now in China it's winter season. So some people ask me through internet, in winter season when fresh flowers are not available when they should cool. I checked the folio
Om Ashwaipat. Purified. Well, that's like in your mind, you're offering. You have water, an archman cup, and you can offer water as if you're offering to the lotus feet of the Lord. By looking through the water, you can also bathe the deity as you're pouring water. Manasi, it's not available. You can get dry flowers like lotus leaves, bokal, and you can dry them. And they can be used, kept, and you can use a long time. Which flower?
Chrysanthemum.
Or
a fairy
wood. Okay. Yeah, whatever is available, best. It gives an order, you know, scented flowers. Krishna likes best white flowers with the colored center. He very much likes that. So you get all the different gradations, scented flower. And not scented is not so good. Prickly one. Not so good, but rose is prickly, that's also very good. Yeah, whatever is available.
Dried flowers.
No, specifically bokal and lotus flower petals. Not all flowers. Not plastic flowers. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Prabhupada ki jai.